We're continuing our study on the Messianic Trilogy, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Last week we saw the Savior's cross. Today we're going to look at the shepherd's crook. The shepherd's psalm, as oftentimes is called in Psalm 23. You know, you can't enter into Psalm 23 until you've gone through the gateway of Psalm 22. You need to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and have received Him and His precious cross work at Calvary for you. Then once you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're now prepared to enter into His ministry for you, and His watch care, and His protection, and His leadership in your life. Psalm 23 is probably the most widely read chapter in the Word of God. Psalm 23 has been upon the lips of the martyrs who have given their lives for the Lord. Psalm 23 has been written on prison walls by POWs, held captive by the enemy. Psalm 23 has been uttered by suffering Christians and even our own family members upon their deathbed. Psalm 23 has been claimed by nursing mothers in the middle of the night as they pray for their fevered infants. It's been the text often preached by pastors and read in hospitals. I'm sure Brother Dick can testify to the many, many times that he has shared with the Hospice of the Comforter Ministry, along with many other well-known chapters, but certainly Psalm 23 would be right up there, wouldn't it? And in a lot of funerals as well, certainly. Psalm 23 was quoted by Todd Beamer, you recall, on that fateful day, September the 11th, prior to his plane crashing into the Pennsylvania field as they came upon the enemy. Psalm 23 was really written in the latter years of David's life. And therefore, when he speaks about the ministry of the Lord in his life, he speaks as a veteran. We don't have the musings of an immature, inexperienced boy. There are six observations that we want to look at in Psalm 23, and I want you to notice the first observation in verse 1, and that is the provision of the shepherd. And I want to bring before you that here we have the shepherd who gave his life for his sheep, as we see in Psalm 22. We see the provision of the shepherd. Notice here in Psalm 23, the Lord, the word that he uses here is the word Yahweh, the self-existing one, the one who is not dependent on anyone or anything for his existence. He is the I Am of Exodus chapter 3. So David is speaking about the Lord. And we have the same Lord that David has. The Lord is my shepherd. Not was our shepherd, he is our shepherd, a very present help in time of trouble. He is, and we're thankful to the Lord for that. He is where you are now, in the midst of your depression and the difficulty that you may be going through. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have a he was where we get stuck in just Psalm 22? He is. Psalm 23, present with us. And notice his personal ministry here. The Lord is my shepherd. He's your shepherd. He can be your personal shepherd, one who is acquainted with your trials. This isn't just David's shepherd. He is your shepherd. Sheep herding, by the way, was a pretty lowly position. It was despised by the Egyptians. You remember back in Genesis 46 and verse 34, it was an abomination to be a shepherd in the eyes of the Egyptians. Moses knew what it was like to be humbled 40 years as a shepherd. You remember David was a little shepherd boy, and the responsibility of being a shepherd was given to the youngest member of the family. He knew what a shepherd and the shepherd life was all about. But our Lord was willing to condescend to be our shepherd. And he, of course, as the shepherd, was willing to give his life for the sheep. Notice it continues with the provision of the shepherd, because it says, I shall not want. I shall not lack is the idea. We're not going to lack. This world is filled with people living in a spiritual vacuum. And like the woman at the well, our Savior promises to meet our needs. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Oh, we may think we lack things, but he knows exactly what our needs are. So in verse 1, we have the provision of the shepherd that I want to draw your attention to. Now look at verse 2, and we're going to look not at just his provision, but his pasture. He has a pasture. The pastures of the shepherd is given in verse 2. Here it says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Our Lord provides the best of pasture land for us. Even in the greatest of danger, stress, uncertainty, he will make provision for us spiritually. Sometimes, interestingly enough, he has to make us. Too often, we're running so quickly through life that the Lord has to place us in a position where we depend upon him. Notice it continues on this line of the pastures of the shepherd, where it says in verse 3, or in the latter part of verse 2 rather, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Literally, the Hebrew reads waters of quietness. Sheep, of course, you know, will not drink from running water. And you know, we're living in a fast-paced world, and he desires to minister to us in waters of quietness. But you know, we don't know what quietness is in this world, do we? We see people walking down, crossing streets with wires in their ears, oblivious to sound around them. I always say these joggers wouldn't know if somebody was chasing them or attacking them. You read about the serial killer in Tampa and all of these things. One of the reasons why, and I'm not making accusations because we don't know circumstances or even who it is, but sometimes people can be coming up and there are so many distractions and things that they have in their ears, they're conditioned white when it comes to their surroundings. Totally oblivious because they have no collateral hearing. And oftentimes even their vision may be obstructed. So all we need to learn how to be beside the still waters, the waters of quietness. I want you to notice the third observation of this passage. Not only the provision and the pastures, but in verse 3, look at the paths of the shepherd, his paths. It says here in verse 3, he restores my soul. You know, I think of that passage in Isaiah chapter 40, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Whenever we're weary, discouraged, backslidden, Our divine shepherd is willing and he is able to restore us if we're willing to allow him to do so. How many of us could testify of the restorative power and ministry of the Holy Spirit when we are discouraged and perhaps tossing and turning all night, maybe a decision that is facing us or a problem, and we rise up and we go to the Word of God and we sense our battery literally being charged, built up and restored. And the Lord, His Holy Spirit, is our renewable energy. It continues in the latter part of verse 3. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. You know, sheep have to be kept on the move to fresh grazing grass. Our problem is sometimes we don't want to move. Sometimes we'd rather just kind of live off of the gnarled root system of old grass, and we prefer to stay where we are. But sheep have to be kept on the move. Are you willing to trust God for the moves that He may bring into your life? But you know, being kept on the move for fresh grazing grass, that's for the protection of the grass, but it's also for proper nourishment for the sheep. Many Christians, like self-willed sheep, refuse to go on to fresh fields because they're afraid of the unknown. They're afraid of having to encounter new circumstances. Is that true in our lives? Or is the Lord leading us and working in our lives, and yet we're afraid to step out and trust Him? There are a lot of Christians that are trying to live the Christian life on yesterday's blessing and the old grass of things that they once heard and learned and embraced. And God wants to give us new grass. And His blessings are new every morning. And His faithfulness is there, but we need to move on to fresh grass. And notice, He does all of this. Look at the latter part of verse 3. For His namesake. His care and His provision for you, His reputation is at stake. If the sheep doesn't do well, all of the other shepherds in the community will be aware that that shepherd is not properly caring for the sheep. But our Lord will care for us. And we need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and look to our shepherd who indeed is ministering to us. Verse 4 ushers us into the fourth observation of what the Lord does as our shepherd. And notice we have the presence, the fourth P, the presence of the shepherd in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. See, that's the presence of the Lord. Notice it says, though I walk through the valley. The fact that he uses walk speaks of the temporality. It's a temporary hardship. It doesn't say die or stop there. There'll be times where we'll have to walk through hard times. The death of a son or a daughter or a beloved sister or your parents or a heart broken. Whatever the case is, even death, as final as it may seem to the world, to the believer, what is it? Temporary. It's a walk through the valley of the shadow, just like a shadow that passes by. Have you ever been walking through an open field and you see a shadow just zoom over you and you realize that it was an airplane overhead? And the sun was just positioned in such a way, and it brought a shadow. Or perhaps a truck passes. What would you rather be hit by, Brother Dell? An 18-wheeler or the shadow of an 18-wheeler? I'd rather be hit with the shadow of the 18-wheeler. I'd rather be way off on the side of the road and see that thing just whoo, right through, and it's just a shadow. But you know, for the believer, the stinger has been removed, hasn't it? The sting of death has been removed, and yes, we have to go through the shadow, but it's temporary. And you know what? The Lord took the hit for us. He tasted death for every man. But for us, we go through the valley of the shadow of death, and He is our strength. And notice, it says here, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. His personal presence is with us, not just upon our death, but throughout our lives. The latter part of verse 4 says, Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, we don't like that part, do we, as far as talking about the presence of the Lord? Talking about the presence of the Lord and we bring in the rod? Well, you know, that tells me that He's close enough to whoop me if I need to. You know, He's within reach. He's within reach to correct us and minister to us, always in the midst of love. The word rod was used of defense. It was also used for discipline. The staff was often used for direction. If the sheep were going off in a direction they shouldn't, the old shepherd would tap that sheep to the right or to the left to get them moving with the other sheep in the right direction. You remember what Hebrews 12 says? Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. Don't faint when you're rebuked of Him. Why? Because it shows He loves you. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. And the Word of God says He scourges every son whom He receives. His children that have passed through the gateway of receiving Jesus Christ, Psalm 22, are ministered to. And by the way, rod, both the rod, discipline, and the staff, guidance, give comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We don't think of chastening as bringing comfort, but the Lord brings comfort when we're brought into a right relationship with the Lord through testing and through chastening. And both the rod and the staff are needed. There needs to be, even in the home, a balance between discipline and loving direction from a father and his children, or a mother and her children. That's how our Lord deals with us. Fifth observation. Look at verse 5. The fifth observation, the preparation of the shepherd. There's some things that He prepares for us. Isn't that wonderful? Here we have a beautiful picture of the Lord ministering and caring for His children. Here we have a beautiful picture of the Lord, as it were, washing our feet. Who is most unlikely in our own thinking? Our Lord prepares a table for us. And notice, He's able to prepare a table where? In the midst of danger. In the midst of everything that the world would consider adverse. Circumstances have nothing to do with the ministry of God's comfort for us. Here He prepares a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. You know, a shepherd searches out the grazing land, and he looks for toxic plants and menaces such as snakes and scorpions, and he makes sure that we're going to be cared for. So if our enemies are there, trust the Lord for His protection. Just yesterday, I was taking a walk with Samson and saw two baby 2-foot alligators. And immediately I started saying, I wonder where Mommy and Daddy are. Because they are probably very close. If you get too close, they perceive the danger. Mom and Dad are going to come after you. But the Lord protects, and we also have to use common sense. Don't get too close to some of those retention ponds or other areas where they like to hold out on. But the Lord goes before us in every situation. Isn't it wonderful to know that He's the timeless God? Remember we talked about how He looks at Psalm 22, 23, and 24, all in a united sense of God's history and His purpose, and He sees it as accomplished in His plan. And our Lord goes before us in every situation, in the presence of our enemies, whatever the circumstances may be. Remember God's provision for Israel in the wilderness in the Old Testament and how they failed to trust in Him and they suffered because of it. Remember God's care of King David when he fled for his life and God prepared and protected him. But there's also some more preparation of the shepherd because it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Only honored guests were anointed with oil. As far as the sheep goes, a common illness or a malady that faces sheep are nasal flies. And it's said that oftentimes nasal flies would fly into the nasal passages of the sheep, and literally their larvae could even enter into the brain and drive the sheep totally insane and in a frenzy. The shepherd would anoint the sheep's head, his nose, his ears with oil to relieve any irritation that might be caused by any of those flies, and it needed to be applied daily. And oh, we see that oil is symbolic in the scriptures of the Holy Spirit and how kings and priests were anointed. We need His daily anointing in our lives to guide us through the irritations of our lives as well. Well, let's continue and finish up our study in verses 5 and 6 because we have our last point here. And we finish up with the promises of the shepherd. He gives us some promises. Notice what he says here. The promises are actually in the latter part of verse 5. "My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know, a true shepherd would lead his flock, but in the background, behind the sheep, oftentimes two shepherd dogs acted as a rear guard just to make sure they wouldn't lag behind. And they kept the sheep in the fold. And such is the case of the believer. God's goodness and His divine hesed, His covenant mercy, are the two rear guards that keep us from going astray. And it says here, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." His care is going to eventually take us home. But just remember this, with all of the preparations that He has made for you in the future, don't you dare think that He's not going to make preparations for you in the present to get you there. He's going to watch over you. And He's going to care for you. And His namesake is at stake. So is Christ your shepherd? Have you met the crucified one of Psalm 22? Then enter into His daily ministry and be assured of His comfort and His divine advocacy for you. Because all of these promises are yours to claim. Father, thank You for the wonderful passage of the Shepherd's Psalm and how it speaks to our hearts of Your love and watch care over us. And Lord, I pray that these principles that we've shared together would minister and comfort and encourage our hearts as we go on to serve You and even face the trials and testings that are going to be found in this world. Thank You that our Savior is indeed a conqueror that has paved the way for us, and that we can go forth in his strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.